Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar and today Masechas Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Dal, the fourth parak Rabbi Yishmael. Zichu Masechas Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Al Vasham and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Al Vasham. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa defines ne'avad, a worshipped animal which is disqualified as a carbon. Any animal that people worship, whether unintentionally or intentionally, ben ba'onis ben baratzum, whether against the will or willingly. Rabbi Bar Chama explains the case of onus that Gentiles coerce someone to bow down to his own animal. Rabbi Zera objects, onus rachmana patre, but the Torah exempts someone coerced for any aver from liability, as we see in the case of a married woman who was violated. Rabbi answers that when the Torah said, v'chai behem, and he will live by the mitzvahs, it teaches, v'loshi yamus behem, and he shall not die because of them, meaning one may transgress averos under threat of death. Yet the pasuk says, v'sechal l'shem kadshi, and you shall not desecrate my holy name, indicating one must even give up his life to avoid desecrating a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. The difference is, habetzina, this permit to transgress averos to save his life, is in private, v'habifahesia, and that warning not to desecrate a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, even under pain of death, is in public. There, the worshipped animal becomes prohibited. Many of you shown me say that this is according to Rabbi Shmuel, but according to the Rabban, that one must always give up his life to avoid idolatry, the animal would be prohibited, even in private. Point number two, the Gemara offers another explanation of the Braisa that an animal becomes prohibited by onus. Kagon shenisach l'yayin ben karneil. The cases where he poured wine between the animal's horns as a libation of worship to the animal, David b'mais, because he didn't act in it. This agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's statement, even though they said that one who bows to his fellow as an animal, he doesn't prohibit it. If he didn't act in it, he does prohibit it. Rav Huna similarly taught that if someone else's animal was lying in front of an idol, as soon as he cuts one pipe of its neck, he prohibits it in any benefit, although the animal is not his. The Gemara eventually proves this from a pasuk teaching that vessels of the Mikdash were concealed because King Ahaz had used them for idolatry. Although one cannot prohibit someone else's items, he can if he does an act of avodah zarah with them. And point number three, in the next Mishnah, philosophers asked the sages in Rome, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want an idol, lama einu mevatel, why does he not get rid of it? They replied that if people would only worship items which the world does not need, he would get rid of it. However, people worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and constellations. Ya'bid olamu mifnei ha'shotim, should he destroy his world because of the fools? The philosophers then asked why Kodesh Baruch Hu does not at least destroy unnecessary idols. And the sages replied that this would be taken as evidence that the sun and the others are true deities, since other idols were destroyed and they were not. A price relates that they added Ela Om Kiminhago Noheg. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the world to operate naturally. Mashotim Shekilku Asidin Litan Esedin, and the fools who sin will have to give an accounting. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows stolen wheat, which was planted to grow, and a married woman who has illicit relations to become pregnant. So once again, the three points are, number one, a braisa defines ne'avad, a worshipped animal which is disqualified as a carbon. Any animal that people worship, whether unintentionally or intentionally, ben ba'onis ben baratzum, whether against the will or willingly. Rabbi Bar Chama explains the case of onus that Gentiles coerce someone to bow down to his own animal. Rabbi Zera objects, onus rachmana patre, but the Torah exempts someone coerced for any aver from liability, as we see in the case of a married woman who was violated. Rabbi answers that when the Torah said, v'chai behem, and he will live by the mitzvahs, it teaches, v'loshi yamus behem, and he shall not die because of them, meaning one may transgress averos under threat of death. Yet the pasuk says, v'sechal l'shem kadshi, and you shall not desecrate my holy name, indicating one must even give up his life to avoid desecrating a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. The difference is, habetzina, this permit to transgress averos to save his life, is in private, v'habifahesia, and that warning not to desecrate a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, even under pain of death, is in public. There, the worshipped animal becomes prohibited. Many of you shown me say that this is according to Rabbi Shmuel, but according to the Rabban, that one must always give up his life to avoid idolatry, the animal would be prohibited, even in private. Point number two, the Gemara offers another explanation of the Braisa that an animal becomes prohibited by onus. Kagon shenisach l'yayin ben karneil. The cases where he poured wine between the animal's horns as a libation of worship to the animal, David b'mais, because he didn't act in it. This agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's statement, even though they said that one who bows to his fellow as an animal, he doesn't prohibit it. If he didn't act in it, he does prohibit it. Rav Huna similarly taught that if someone else's animal was lying in front of an idol, Kaven Shashacha Basiman Echot Asara, as soon as he cuts one pipe of its neck, he prohibits it in any benefit, although the animal is not his. The Gemara eventually proves this from a pasuk teaching that vessels of the Mikdash were concealed because King Achaz had used them for idolatry. Although one cannot prohibit someone else's items, he can if he does an act of Avodah Zarah with them. And point number three, in the next Mishnah, philosophers ask the sages in Rome, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want an idol, Lama Einu Mevatel, why does he not get rid of it? They reply that if people would only worship items which the world does not need, he would get rid of it. However, people worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and constellations. Ya'bid olamu mifnei ha'shotim. Should he destroy his world because of the fools? The philosophers then ask why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not at least destroy unnecessary idols. And the sages replied that this would be taken as evidence that the sun and the others are true deities, since other idols were destroyed and they were not. A price relates that they added Ela Olam Kiminhago Onoheg. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the world to operate naturally. Meshotim Shekilku Asidin Liten Esedin, and the fools who sin will have to give an accounting. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows stolen wheat which was planted to grow, and a married woman who has illicit relations to become pregnant. All right, so now we get our siman daf nun dalet, and our standard siman is noodles. Noodles, so here goes. The man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow by a man with a whip made of noodles, making the cow usser, watches his friend pour a pot of noodles as a libation before another cow, making it usser as well. As a rabbi explained to a goy that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't destroy all the idols, so he shouldn't destroy the world because of the fools. So once again in slow motion, the man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow by a man with a whip made of noodles. Noodles? That must move on daf nundalid. The man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow by a man with a whip made of noodles, making the cow aser, which reminds us, a braisa defines ne'avad, a worshipped animal which is disqualified as a carbon. Kosher obdin oso ben b'shogin ben b'mezid, any animal that people worship whether unintentionally or intentionally, ben b'onus ben b'ratzon, whether against the will or willingly. Rami Bar Chama explains the case of onus that Gentiles coerce someone to bow down to his own animal, and the Gemara clarifies that it was done in public. So the man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow made by a man with a whip made of noodles, making the cow usser, watches his friend pour a pot of noodles as a libation before another cow, making it usser as well, which reminds us, the Gemara offers another explanation of the braisa that an animal becomes prohibited, ba'ones, kagon shenisech la'yayin ben karneha, the cases where he poured wine between the animal's horns as a libation of worship to the animal, David ba'mais, because he didn't act in it. This agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's statement that even though they said that one who bows down to his fellow's animal doesn't prohibit it, if he didn't act in it, he does prohibit it. So the man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow by a man with a whip made of noodles, making the cow usser, watched as his friend poured a pot of noodles as a libation before another cow, making it usser as well. As a rabbi explained to a goy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't destroy all the idols, so he shouldn't destroy the world because of the fools, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, philosophers ask the sages in Rome, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want an idol, Lama Einu Mevatel, why does he not get rid of it? They replied that if people would only worship items which the world doesn't need, he would get rid of it. However, people worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and constellations. Ya'abed olamo mifnei ha'shotim, should he destroy his world because of the fools? So once again, the man who was forced in public to bow down to a cow by a man with a whip made of noodles, making the cow usser, watches his friend pour a pot of noodles as a libation before another cow, making it usser as well. As a rabbi explained to a goy that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't destroy all the idols, so he shouldn't destroy the world because of the fools. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf nun. So the simmer daf nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The man about to board a non-stop flight. A non-stop flight? That must be more daf nun. The man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Merkulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos about stones found in the area of Merkulis. So the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Merkulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway, which reminds us, Gemara discusses Merkulis stones, which were removed to pave streets. So the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Merkulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway for the flight that was going to spray fertilizer on a field during Shemitah, but not during Chol HaMoed, which reminds us, a braiser permits deworming or applying fertilizer to a wounded tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol HaMoed. One may not prune a tree in either period, but may smear a pruned branch with oil during both. The difference between Chol HaMoed and Shemitah is understandable because regarding Shemitah, the Torah prohibited melacha, labor, whereas in Chol HaMoed, even tircha, exertion, is forbidden. Deworming and applying fertilizer, which are preserving the tree's health, are permitted on Shemitah, but pruning, which is strengthening the tree, is prohibited. Daf Nun Alf. So the Simmer Daf Nun Alf is beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol. Beaver? That must be on Daf Nun Alf. Gnaw. The men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol. One by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Which reminds us, on the previous Daf, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav saying regarding an idol which is worshipped with a stick, as Rashi explains through shaking it, Shiber Mekel Befaneo Chayev. If he broke a stick before it, he's Chayev. Zark Mekel Befaneo Pater. If he threw a stick before it, he's Pater. Rav explains that breaking the stick is Ke'en Zvicha. It's similar to shechting a carbon in the Mikdash, but throwing the stick is not Ke'en Zrika, similar to throwing blood on the Mizbech, because we need Zrika HaMishtaberes, throwing where the item breaks apart, and this stick does not. So the men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol, one by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Watch as a man offered a beaver missing a leg, who was pater, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses slaughtering a balas mum for avodah zorah. Rav explains this cannot refer to minor blemishes, such as doking shiba'ayin, a cataract in the eye, since a ben noach may bring such an animal as a carbon on his private bama. Rather, it refers to mechuser aver, an animal missing a limb, which is disqualified as a carbon even from b'nei noach. So the men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol, one by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Watch as a man offered a beaver missing a leg, who was pater, and were shocked when a rabbi came by and grabbed the handkerchief on top of the idol and used it for himself, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Matzah Barosha Maus Ksusa Kelim, if he found on top of Markulis coins, a garment, or utensils that are permitted in benefit, because they were not placed there to decorate the idol. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must be on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who was liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas if an idol becomes forbidden when it's made or worshipped and the difference if it's a Jew's idol or an Akum's idol. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who was liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, but wasn't allowed to sell the stones from Beis Chonyo to the Gizbar for the Mikdash, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi ben Shul asked the Rebbe, Kelei Sheshimshu Behen beBeis Chonyo, utensils which were used for service in Chonyo's temple, may they be used in the Beis of Mikdash, assuming Beis Chonyo was not an idolatrous temple? Kohanim who served in Beis Chonyo cannot serve in the Mikdash. Does this penalty only apply to Kohanim, the B'nai De'aninu, who are intelligent beings and should not have served there, or does the penalty even include utensils? Rebbe replied that they are forbidden to be used. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who was liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, but wasn't allowed to sell the stones from Beis Chonyo to the Gizbar for the Mikdash, tried to get a bittul for an idol that was jointly owned by a Jew and an idolater, but was unsuccessful, which reminds us, the Gemara discussed the bittul of Avodah Zorah owned jointly by a Jew and an idolater. Rebbe initially held Yisrael Daita de Obed Kochavim Palach. The Jew only serves the idol according to his partner, the idolater's mindset. So when the Akum nullifies his own share, the Jew's share becomes bittul as well. However, in his older years, Rebbe held Yisrael Daita de Nafshe Palach. The Jew worships the idol according to his own mindset, so his share can never be nullified. Two more versions of this discussion are presented. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must be on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if selling an idol nullifies it. Rav Yochan and Rav argue. One says, Machokas Betzorif Ovid Kochavim. The dispute in the Mishnah is about an idol sold to an idol-worshipping smelter, where the seller may assume the buyer will continue to worship it, of a Betzorif Yisrael, but where he sold it to a Jewish smelter. Everyone agrees it is batal because the Jewish buyer will likely smash it. The other says Machokas is where it was sold to a Jewish smelter because the seller may assume the Jew will sell the valuable idol to another idolater. The Gemara asks if this opinion holds that where it was sold to an Akum, all agree it is not batal, or that they argue about both. The question is not resolved. So the Nigerian prince, who was Mavato's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, which reminds us, Rav said, Yisrael shezikif levenu ishtachavos la. If Yisrael stood up a brick to bow down to it, and an Akum came beforehand and bowed down to it, he is prohibited as a Jew's idol, although it's not his. The Akum is acting in the Jew's shlichus. So the Nigerian prince, who was Mavato's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, while his warriors abandoned their idol in a time of peace, which meant it was nullified and permitted. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states regarding an idol whose worshippers abandoned it, B'shas Shalom, if they did so in a time of peace and willingly abandoned the idol, it's nullified and permitted. But if they abandoned it B'shas Mochama, during a time of war, it remains prohibited since they did not willingly abandon it when they fled. Rav said that Beis Nimrod, Nimrod's building referring to Migdal Bavel, built under Nimrod's rule, is like an idol which was abandoned B'shas Shalom. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff to discuss what the din is of shavings of an Asherah which were shaved off for the Asherah's needs? That's on Duff. Memtes. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to question whether the utensils used in Beis Chonyo can be used in the Beis of Migdash? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss shechting a balas mum for avodah zorah where the animal is missing an aver? That's on daf. Nun Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn why Kadosh Baruch Hu does not destroy idols? That's on daf. Nun Daled. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss the difference between doing things to preserve a tree's health versus strengthening the tree regarding Shemitah and Chol Hamoed? That's on daf. Nun. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss passing under the shade of an Asherah or the Asherah itself regarding Tumah? That's on daf. Memches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that a physical act of idolatry on someone else's property can prohibit it? For example, pouring wine between the animal's horns as a libation to worship the animal. That's on daf. Nun Dalad. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss what the din is of sor of chulin and truma, which fell into dough and then leavened it? That's on daf. Memtes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss when an animal worshipped ba'onis is prohibited? That's on daf. Nun Daled. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss rebuilding a fallen wall shared by an idolatrous building? That's on daf. Mem Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.